Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House. And Andrew, they got 136 draft beers. You needed them all this weekend, baby, because LSU...
I needed 137.
Because LSU got eviscerated. The Saints lost a heartbreaker. We'll get to that in a second. The Pelican House, they have an awesome menu. They're 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They're awesome. Go there. LSU's got three games left. They're going 10-1. They're going to the Sugar Bowl. The Saints are making a run, maybe, possibly, not really. But you go there on the weekends, you get drunk, you watch football. The Pelican House, they're awesome. You should support them because they support us. All right. Before we get to the rest of the knuckleheads, we got an awesome guest. I'm super excited. He's a friend of Andrew's. Andrew, why don't you introduce him? He's like a world famous kind of tennis player. And he's a crazy lunatic Saints fan. Ryan Harrison is joining us, right? So.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, why don't you give everyone, since we can't read your Wikipedia page because 87% of it is inaccurate. So world high ranking of
43. So let's not, I would like it to be 42. We're going for 42 and higher, but it is currently 43.
All right. Well, Ryan is from Shreveport and grew up a Saints fan, big LSU fan. And he's been bugging me to get on the podcast. So I'm glad we finally got him on here.
So Ryan, you're a world famous tennis player. You travel all over. How do you keep up with the Saints? Do you watch it on the iPad?
Man, I tell you what, I've been doing it my whole life that I've been traveling. I'll be in Asia playing a match and playing at 11, 12. Wake up in the middle of the night, Saints are playing, it would be the equivalent of 3 a.m. their time. I wake up just to check the score, and I end up staying up for 3 hours. So the Saints have kind of crushed me every now and then for my preparation.
What's the last time you like woke up to check a score and you watched the whole game and it was either – an awesome ending, or you were like, I can't believe I stayed up 3 a.m. for this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's been plenty of times. I mean, there's been plenty of times. I mean, obviously, like the Super Bowl run, whenever we were throughout the playoffs, you know, being in January for the tennis tour, you're in Australia, which all the playoffs games start at like 7 in the morning. So I remember playing at like 6 or 7 that evening and waking up at like 5:30 to, you know, just get prepped, watch the pregame. I mean, well, this can't be the best preparation for this tournament. But you know what? The Saints in the playoffs, this hadn't happened in forever. We're going to win it this year. And that was the year that I just remember it was awesome. I mean, watching the Vikings game and the NFC Championship game, the playoffs, and obviously the Super Bowl at the end whenever we end up winning it against the Colts. It was just it was a great, great season to watch. And, you know, we're all hoping to replicate that season here pretty soon.
Ryan, be honest with me. In all your years of playing and being a Saints fan, mm-hmm. How many matches would you say you have lost as a direct result of either lack of sleep or just having the Saints' awful performance on them?
Oh, my gosh. Well, every athlete can attest to this. It was never my fault. So I'm going to say all of them. I mean, all of the losses, you know, it was the wind, the rain, something else. I mean, it certainly wasn't me. But, no, in all seriousness, I mean, I just tell you what, whenever I wake up in the middle of the night to watch the Saints, I think I'm just checking the score. Then I'm pulling up the game. I mean, my favorite thing was when they came out with a game pass on, you know, that you can watch online throughout the world. So I'm getting live streaming in the middle of the night and waking up everybody that's around me screaming left and right.
You're a finely tuned athlete, right? Top 45 in this world of tennis. So
what's your current ranking, Ryan?
Current ranking 107.
Okay, 107 current.
So we're back to the top 45.
You'll get there, man. You'll get the Saints. You'll get on a winning streak. You'll be there. So, like, so you're a finely tuned athlete. I am not. I drink a lot during the Saints games. What's it like watching a Saints game sober? Because I assume that you can't wake up at like 3 in the morning and get trashed and then go to play tennis. Like, that's
too far. Well, I'll
tell
you, I mean, you know that some Saints games will drive you to drink when you shouldn't. I mean, it happens.
That's every week for me, man.
I mean, it happens.
Preach to the choir, buddy.
I mean, yesterday I'm sitting there watching the game. I'm going, golly, I got to play on Tuesday, but I'm dying right now. But you know, like you said, I mean, you gotta have good energy around you. You gotta have people around you that can really relate. We've got a few tennis players who love the Saints out there, believe it or not. So we usually try to get together, watch the games, especially if it's in a convenient time where, you know, we all might be in another country or somewhere else where we all will go look for a bar that'll show American sports, and then we'll go up there and actually make it a fun event. You know, it can kind of be something where we.
Who are the other players that are in
there? There's a girl named Madison Keys who's actually a top 20 girl in the world. She's close to top 10 now. She's really good. Made the semifinals of the Australian Open, which is one of the majors in tennis. We have four. And then Devin Britton, who used to play one NCAAs, was actually the youngest player to ever win the NCAA championship, and then kind of had a really, really early success on the career. And then I think he might be back in school. But anyways, he's a really good friend of mine. We've been playing on tour watching Saints games for a long time.
So Ryan, you know, as a tennis player, you know, the Saints, I don't know if you notice it, and we'll get into it later in the podcast, but Brandon Browner, he went crazy on a media member again. He did it again. Like, this isn't, like, the first time. He, like, went crazy on a media member, and he kind of ramped it up even this time. Some teammates had to pull him in. So I was asking you, like, when you play tennis, the tennis media seems kind of calm and easy. But if you just, like, ever, like, lost your mind after a match where, like, they ask you a question and you just snapped or got really terse with them?
Well, it's tough. You know, you have to try to be aware of your image at the same time. I mean, tennis being an individual sport, you know, you're the only person in your brand. You know, I guess the Saints, you know, we can look at one particular play, but at the end of the day, it's a team thing, you know. So Brandon Browner went crazy, but you know, then you have great representation of just how to handle yourself, like a Drew Brees and a lot of guys on our team that are the leaders, and you get to have a little bit of deflection away from the one incident. Obviously, there's moments where guys will just press you, and as a media member, your goal is to try to get a rise out of the guy because that's going to be a good headline for you. I mean, negative media is the best media you can get. So, you know, he's obviously going to ask Browner. You see him agitated, you're going to press him a little bit, maybe press him a little bit harder than you would if he just looked calm and collected. So yeah, I think you have to understand that as an athlete. You have to understand that people are going to press you to get their story, because at the end of the day, it's his job too. The guy's trying to make a living. And so, you know, you have to be conscious of what you're going to get.
Do you guys think it's overblown that fans are kind of throwing out this Brandon Browner, team captain, doing this kind of stuff in the locker room? I kind of straddle both sides of the fence here, because
I don't think
part of me wants to say, you know what, if he's getting fired up after a loss, and you know, as long as it doesn't cross the line of doing bad things off the field or betraying his teammates, things like that, then it might actually serve as a unifying thing for the locker room.
I don't think the Saints care at all, and I'm going to tell you why. And I saw this tweet from Cat Terrell. Brandon Browner, after the secondary meeting is over, he stays 90 minutes with Bro to help him understand film better. That's what the Saints care about. They don't care about that he melted down against the media. So what? The Saints hate the media anyway. Like, I think fans get the lines confused. Yeah, if he punches a media member or shivs a media member, he could be in trouble. But until he does, until he, like, he can yell and scream at him. That's nothing. Like, they don't care.
Yeah, I mean, energy is good. I mean, you want to see passion. I mean, I guarantee you, just as I was, there was a million Saints fans out there who were throwing stuff at the TV and, you know, yelling, cussing, and screaming while that final drive is going on, and going, you know, we're just as agitated as anyone out there, because you're, I mean, one thing about a Saints fan is we will really get into the game.
Here's a question that me and Andrew kind of cooked up when we were talking about, you know, talking. We were like, what are we going to ask Ryan? And Andrew was telling me he's a crazy Saints fan. So, you know, I thought of it, and Andrew said it was a good question. He's, you know, tennis guys, you have coaches, you know, even though you're, you, like you said, you're your own brand. You're a team of one. You mm-hmm. have coaches, right? Mm-hmm. So when – because Saints fans are thinking Rob Ryan's going to get fired too. When right. as a – and I know it's tennis, but when do you say, you know what? It isn't me. Mm-hmm. It's this coach, and he's got mm-hmm. to go. When do you make that decision?
You know, I think that's a decision. You obviously – the biggest thing in all working relationships is having great communication. You know, if you're communicating with people what's going on, usually you can help work through most of the issues. Now, if it's a scheme thing where they're just thinking that the way that we're playing with our particular set of skills that we have with our players is just not working out to the sort of style of defense that Rob Ryan wants to run, then that's one thing. But if you feel like it's a execution thing where he has a good scheme but our players aren't just executing, if it's an injury thing where we feel like, okay, everything is going pretty well but we've lost some star players, that's one thing. You know, I think that even the most casual sports fan can agree that giving up 49 and winning a game is not going to happen too often. So, you know, we've got to really figure out a way here to understand that, you know, our defense has got to help on the days that Drew Brees doesn't feel good. You know, the
one thing's for sure. I mean, you got to look at, from a communication standpoint, it's known that players love Rob Ryan.
Yeah.
So I'm confident that's not the issue. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that brings up the question, what's wrong with this team? Now, you look at this unit, obviously mm-hmm. the offseason changes, and now you're looking at young players, that there's been a lot of changes. The result's the same. We're still looking at pretty much the 32nd ranked defense in the NFL. Mm-hmm. At what point – now, Rob Ryan's in the last year of his contract. At what mm-hmm. point do you pull the plug now that you've hired Dennis Allen and say, you mm-hmm. know what, we're going to see what we have in Dennis Allen for the rest of the year to see if he's our coach next year?
Right. Well, you know, I think it's at a point right now where we're still, barring any sort of crazy, you know, three-game lose streak coming up, we're going to be relevant just based off of strength of schedule and the fact that Drew Brees has been playing a lot better in recent games, even despite the loss that we had last week. I felt like Brees was hot, especially early. I mean, just watching the fact that we were up 14-3 and there was a pick that should have happened and turns out to be a deflected touchdown pass.
Oh my
all sorts God. Of crazy stuff Duh. Like that. You know, and you're just watching that going, oh my gosh. I mean, we could have Brees hot hand right now looking to drive the ball to get up 21-3. But then, you know, watching the Saints, you go, man, our defense could go up two quick scores at any point in time. I think that, in my opinion, as long as we're playoff relevant, it's tough to make any kind of juggling changes.
It'll be I think it'll be interesting because if it doesn't happen during the bye week, it's not going to happen,
mm-hmm.
right? But the interesting thing is, what happens if they give up? If say they go to Washington and they win 45-42.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would he make a change at 5-5?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though they won, it'll be interesting. But the thing is, and Andrew, yeah. he's never done it. He's never done anything in season. He's never fired mm-hmm. any coach in season. So,
Well, going back to if you listen to Sean Payton's press conference, so talking about the special teams coach here now for a second, he made a pretty strong statement that I thought was interesting. And if you read between the lines, he says, at some point, if you keep making the same mistakes, it's not the students.
It's the parent.
It's the teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah, or it's the parent. And you look at special teams and how much the kicking game has struggled this year, and it has not been one thing. Now, the kicker gets cut, so obviously they haven't been happy with Hocker. But I also remember Luke McCown dropping a hold at one point this year.
Yeah.
There's been numerous snaps that haven't been in the right location that have caused some of these misses. And Sean Payton even made a comment about the protection not being that great on this missed field goal from Kai Forbath from 46. So, you know, McMahon, I'm sorry, is the special teams coach. At what point, when you look at all these deficiencies and mistakes that are happening from every guy on special teams that's associated with kicking, at what point do you make a change there?
It's hard. I mean, I don't know. I feel like McMahon is kind of like Joe Vitt, man. He's like in the inner. He's like in the inner circle. Because they've had plenty of reasons to get rid of him before.
I mean, yeah. At what point do you think that it could be, you know, there's few times in sports that you have complete control of a situation. When you're snapping the ball and just have to hold on the ground, and you have a kicker who, you know, it's a relatively routine play, snap, hold, kick. You know, you feel like that could be rehearsed enough to, you know, to think that it's something that you could get down. You know, like we said, we've been having these struggles for a long time now. Is it something to do with the special teams coaching? Is it something to do with the fact that we've had kickers losing confidence? Do you think that because we've been juggling kickers so much that each kicker feels like he's on a short leash? Like maybe he doesn't have the sort of confidence but from the coaching staff that maybe he's going to have the opportunity to maybe miss
it. I don't know. I felt like Graham had a pretty long leash, mm-hmm. you know, for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely feel like Hawker was on a short leash, and he starting in the second week, he was sort of a disaster,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think it just got in his head, and he was young, and you know, kickers are like that, man. They just he couldn't pull out of it.
Hey, Ryan, going back to Browner for a second, mm-hmm. you know, obviously he's like the. I mean, I feel like we're going back to the Jason David era, just in terms mm-hmm. of fans. Really kind of singling out one guy and blaming all of the teams, fairly or unfairly. I mean, he certainly mm-hmm. has a lot of penalties. But, mm-hmm. you know, as a tennis player, I know you guys, now, you know, fans listening probably don't realize this, but you guys get killed by mm-hmm. after you lose a match by bettors. You know, that's mm-hmm. that's a big thing in tennis is betting. And, yep. you know, because it's an individual sport, when they bet on you and they lose money because you lose a match or whatever – They're going after you hard on social media. It's not just you. I mean, it's every tennis player gets railed on that kind of thing. And so Browner is probably experiencing single-handedly kind of a lot of the fan backlash that most football players maybe don't see that much like tennis players do. How does Browner handle this, and what do you think is going through his mind right now just dealing with that?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, the biggest thing is you love to see his passion. Like we talked about at the beginning, the fact that he's staying late, the fact that he wants to not only be a good player but be a leader, that's something that his team, his locker room around him, his coaching staff, you have to lean on the people around you that are close to you, that you really trust, because you start paying attention to people that you don't know, that crush you. That, I mean, that you let that stuff in, it can get in your head. It'll come at your head in the most, you know, the most awful times. You could be sitting there trying to make a play on a critical third down and have some lack of doubt. And maybe it's not even doubt. Maybe it's like a incentive for him that, oh my gosh, I want to prove otherwise to all the naysayers who have been doubting me for the last few weeks. Well, you know what needs to be going through his head is what's going on in the play. I mean, he can't have all sorts of excess stuff. And that's one thing that's kind of relevant in, like you said, the relation to tennis is you start getting to a point where you're starting to think about, I want to prove this, that, and the other. I want to do this, that, and the other. You're not thinking about what's going on in the moment. Now, for him, his biggest important, I guess the main thing he has to focus on right now is understanding, okay, what is the coaching staff helping me with right now? All right, obviously my penalties need to be cut back. The fact that I'm a leader in the locker room is going to have me a lot of support from the young guys. I got to keep my energy up. I got to keep my positive energy going. Even when I make a bad play, even if I get a bad early penalty in a game, we can't let this set a tone for the rest of the game. You have to use positive energy when you're out there and keep that fire going. I mean, I love seeing the Saints get super fired up, looking at each other, high five, and
you know,
really
right, and that's
it.
That's a good point. I felt like
Sean Payton does talk about body language.
I thought their energy was really on defense was really great to start the game. Mm-hmm. I think they hung in even after Murphy fumbled the punt and it was 14-3. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. they hang in after the clown show of a play to make it 14-10. Mm-hmm. I think their energy really waned mm-hmm. when it was 21-10 and mm-hmm. Tennessee went down the field and made it 21-17. I think mm-hmm. that's when their energy really started to dip. And it's interesting that you bring that up because mm-hmm. it's a thing the Saints harp on. But I think that's a really good point. I mean, it's just – it's hard to – it's easy as fans and all of us to say, hey, you just got to fight through it. You got to keep it up. But, man, it's hard when you've had, you know – in tennis, 3, 4, 5 straight points go against you, or defense right. where you've given up 2 long touchdown drives. It's hard to just shake that off, you know. And I think the Saints they didn't in the second half. I think that that score right before the half for Tennessee really hurt them. Ryan, but as we – thanks for coming on. How do people – before I ask, I want a prediction for you for the rest of the year. But yeah. How do people find you on Twitter if you cost them money and you lose and you lose a match?
Yeah, you know, if you bet on me and I lose your match, you want to shoot me a little hate message, I'm at RyanHarrison92. Massive Saints fan, been tweeting about the Saints for a long time. Absolutely love the team. I'm going to be watching every game regardless of the outcome. Prediction, I think that we have a schedule that, assuming that Breeze plays the way that he has been playing, I really do think the defense is going to get some things figured out. I think that we have a great coaching staff, and our leader, Sean Payton, is going to have the discipline to make sure that guys are doing their jobs. I think that this defense is going to get better. Now, do I think that we're going to turn into a, you know, Seahawks of last year? No. But I think that we could be relevant enough to where if we get the defense figured out, Breeze continues to play well.
9 wins?
Yeah, 9 wins is realistic, you know, and if we play really well, then, you know, our schedule, you know, I think that we probably have 2 or 3 games that I look at that go, we're not going to be favored there. Now, if we can flip a couple of those games, then we're going to have a good chance to pick up 9 or 10 wins just based off strength of schedule.
Well, Ryan, It's gonna be interesting. I think they're probably gonna be as a degenerate gambler myself. I think they got 7 games left. I think the only games they're not gonna be favored in is Atlanta's probably gonna be a pick'em, and Carolina's probably gonna be maybe a pick'em or maybe Carolina.
Yeah, you gotta remember
two.
Carolina's week 17, is it not?
Is it
week 16?
Is it week? Yeah.
So you know, Carolina might be
wrapped
in,
up
in a bye situation where they start nobody.
No, that's true. Ryan Harrison, thanks for joining us. It's been a pleasure. And find him on Twitter. And good luck. And if you cost me money on my degenerate gambling, I know how to hunt you down now. So
yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thank you all for having me on. I really had a blast. And obviously, you know, continue listening to the podcast. And good luck to the Saints the rest of the season. We're gonna be watching, pulling from my heart every Sunday. So it's gonna be a fun rest of the year. Hopefully, we can get it turned around.
We'll need to get you back on here, Ryan, sometime soon.
Yeah, absolutely loved it. Thanks again, guys.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Take it easy.
All right. Now I'm joined by the two knuckleheads, Andrew and Dave. Kevin is wrestling somewhere or maybe working because they have the breaking news in Missouri on the football team. Dave, that game yesterday was pretty awful.
Pretty bad.
Rob Ryan, is he going to be the defensive coordinator for the Saints next Monday?
No, I don't know. He will be next Monday, but you know, I think this definitely could have been the straw that broke the camel's back. And don't get me wrong. At the beginning of the season, I really thought that the defense was of the two major units, offense and defense. I thought the defense was the one keeping the Saints in the game, and I thought it was the offense that had a lot of the issues. But these last two games, the defense has just been horrendous. I mean, just absolutely
They've
horrendous.
They've given up 104 points in the last 10 quarters. If you go to the second half of the Colts game and the last 2 weeks, that's 104 points in 10 quarters. That's 10 points a quarter. That's ridiculous.
So, you know, back in October, we used to joke whether Rob Ryan was going to be defensive coordinator by Halloween. And
he made it to Halloween.
He made it to Halloween, but I don't know if he's going to make it to Thanksgiving. I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they did something crazy and they fired him during the bye week. I don't really know how much that's really going to help the team at this point. It kind of doesn't really make sense to just get rid of Ryan, and I would assume go with Dennis Allen.
Well, except try this on for size. But so I hear you, Dave. But you know, part of me wonders. All right, listen, it's Rob Ryan. It's the last year of his contract, so he's done after the year anyway. And based on how the last 2 years have gone, there's almost no chance he's coming back. So for me, I start to wonder. This team's 4-5. They're not technically out of the playoffs yet. Do we make the switch to Dennis Allen and just see what happens?
Oh yeah, and by the way, Atlanta's in a free fall, so the second wild card is in play, and it's not Minnesota, it's the Falcons.
But I don't understand. Dennis Allen is in these meeting rooms. Dennis Allen already has his hands on this defense. So are you telling me that Rob Ryan has something that he's doing, and he's overriding Dennis Allen's opinions and all this kind of stuff, and that's what's screwing this defense up. I'm not saying that,
but I think sometimes you have to mix things up, and ultimately it's Rob Ryan that's scheming this, and it's his call. And
well,
so
Andrew,
Dennis Allen may disagree with some of his things, but he's got to go along.
Well,
with
Andrew,
it.
You watch the film and break it down and give grades out. What is it? In the last 10 quarters, what's the main thing that's causing this defense to be maybe this stretch is as bad as any stretch the 2012 defense put together. I'm telling you, Andrew.
I mean, I think primarily the injuries at cornerback have been tough. I mean, you look at Keenan Lewis and you know, when he's not in there, I mean, it's Kyle Wilson, not having Swan. So the injuries in the defensive backfield have been tough. I mean, Bro's really the only one, in my opinion, that has done anything. And Browner, obviously, the penalties, I mean, the constant penalties. And it's not just Browner. I mean, just the unit as a whole, obviously, Browner's the poster child. But there's been too many penalties. And then lastly, for me, it's just the tight end. I mean, how many times have the Saints just been obliterated by tight ends now? They can't cover them.
And even when they do cover them, they still get tipped balls for touchdowns. The Saints.
The Saints have 87 penalties called against them.
Oh my God!
For a total of 668 yards.
You know,
how does
the
that
Saints
compare to other teams?
And 12 first downs.
The Saints actually made news today. Luke McCown is out for the year.
When did he get injured?
I don't know.
He got hurt in practice on Thursday.
Climbing a cell phone tower? I don't know, Dave. But they signed Matt. They signed Matt Flynn. And let me explain to you people.
First LSU player for the Saints since Devery Henderson.
Yeah. Was Al? What about Al? That's right. Al Woods didn't make the team.
Who, by the way, was starting at defensive tackle for the Titans?
Al Woods was starting it. I didn't even notice that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness!
I didn't notice it too, so I got home and watched the game on TV.
Here's the thing about Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn is like that insurance policy you buy for your car in college that is completely and utterly worthless, and if you ever have to use it, you will never collect a dime from it. That's what Matt Flynn is. You know, he's. Well. I mean,
yeah, I'm not sure why you don't just go with Grayson.
Yeah.
If something happens to Breeze at this point.
Yeah, Grayson. That's a good point, Andrew. Because Grayson must just. For them to just not say, hey, we're gonna go with him, but he must be behind or something. Andrew, C.J. Spiller was only in for 8 plays. What the hell?
Well, Sean Payton gave the excuse that it was for pass protection, and if you look at the way the offensive line was blocking, it's a reasonable excuse. But the main thing for me is, look, Spiller's a guy that ran for 1,200 yards for the Bills in one season, and I think he had 900 the year after that. So it's not like this guy can't tote the rock. And I get that you want to lean on Ingram, but Ingram wasn't having any success on the ground, and if Spiller being in the game means that it's a passing tell. In theory, that should set you up to run the football better. And the fact that he hasn't had any touches in the running game, either he's injured, he's in the doghouse, or Sean Payton's just an idiot.
Or he doesn't
know
the playbook.
I'm not sure which one of the three it is, but he's got to get more involved. He has to. He's the only guy, in my opinion, that creates matchups that Breeze needs as a security valve. And that's the problem in this game. When you look at Breeze, he really misses this. Obviously, he misses Sproles and Graham, but maybe the most undervalued asset that they brought to this team was that when Breeze was in trouble, he could get the ball out very quickly, and he could trust that Sproles and Graham were going to catch the football and they were going to make a play. There's no one on this team that can do that, and so sometimes he's taking these sacks because Cooks is too small and Snead is too small and not fast enough, and these guys are not like Graham or Sproles, and Spiller to me is the only guy that comes close to being able to replicate what they could do.
Yeah. It's tough. I mean, I just, like, the Spiller sign, we loved it at the time. It makes no sense. It makes literally. I mean, if you aren't going to play him, they'd have been better off signing a guard or something. Which, Dave.
I mean, Sean Payton always says you can never have too many good running backs. Well, Kyrie Robinson goes down, and Spiller's activity in the game goes down with it. How do you explain that?
Yeah, Dave, I asked it. I mentioned it before, but I'm going to ask you flat out now. Is this defense worse than 2012 at this exact moment?
at this exact moment, yeah, I would say they are. The last two games have felt very familiar.
Here's a fun stat. The Saint Tom Brady, his quarterback rating is 113.3. When quarterbacks face the Saints, their quarterback rating is 112.
Yeah, I saw that.
They basically turn any quarterback into Tom Brady. That is a hell of a horrible magic trick.
You know what the worst part about that is? Penalties and pass interference and defensive holding, they don't boost quarterback rating.
Oh my God.
Okay, well, I'll tell you this. Right now, so far this season, the Saints defense is giving up an average of 6.5 yards per play. In 2012, the Saints defense gave up an average of 6.5 yards per play. And they have never, in any season from 2000 and beyond, never given up that many average yards per play. So when you ask me whether this defense right now is as bad as the 2012 defense, statistically, looking at these numbers right here, I would say absolutely 100%.
What about yards? Yes. What about yards per game and points per game?
All right, well, let's check it out. Let's see, yards per game. By the way, average yards per pass, defending the pass, average yards per pass. 2012, 7.4 yards per pass. 2015, 7.7. Also the highest since 2000. Let's see, average yards per. They don't seem to do it. Break it down by game, which is interesting.
That 2012 team, they shut out Tampa in one of the.
They were that 2012 team, if you remember, was I think statistically the worst team in NFL, the worst defense in NFL history, was it not?
It was, and I think Dallas for 2013 challenged it.
So is that legit? As of right now, this is worse than Spagnuolo's defense.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, depending on the metric you want to pick out.
I just gave you two metrics, and they were worse or better.
I needed to know points and yards per game.
I'm looking that up. I don't see
you
that.
Yards per game, you can do it by going to NFL.com, team stats, and just filtering.
So, Andrew, but what in your mind is – has a legitimate chance to be fixed on this defense in the last 7 weeks? Like, what could they make 10% better right now that is possible?
I think unless Brandon Browner is covering a guy like a Delanie Walker, I mean, I know that people are screaming at me as I say that, but unless it's a matchup like that that he has a snowball's chance in hell of being successful in, whether it's because the ref doesn't throw a flag or he makes the occasional breakup, I just think he needs to not be on the field. I think he needs to be demoted. I'm fine with him having a specific role where it's like, okay, when this guy, if it's this passing situation or this down and distance and this guy's on the field, you're going to be one-on-one with him. Yeah, I could see him still being involved in the game plan with a role like that.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I'm going to be honest with you. I'd rather go with Keenan Lewis at 50%, Swan and Bro.
Well,
I'll even go with Kyle Wilson right now.
Is Swan ever getting back, though? I mean, really?
Yeah, I mean, he's had two concussions.
Concussion stuff.
Yeah, but after a while, if you get too many in a season, they shut you down for the year.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, do you really think he's going to?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, they haven't put him on IR yet, so I'm sure he's going to give it at least one more go. But, I don't think Keenan Lewis at this point, it's realistic to think he's going to be right all year. And You know, it's tough, man, because the pass rush, I mean, we saw it in this game. The pass rush was really deficient. The tackling was poor. And
how much could how much can King Ellerbe help them?
That's a good question. Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I thought Michael Mahdi at times played okay.
He played for what he is. He played fantastic.
I agree. That's about as good as you're going to get out of that guy.
You're not getting any better out of him. You're really not.
No. There were some plays where he got demolished on a running play that ended up being a big run, and you know, a couple coverage assignments where he screwed the pooch, especially in red zone. But yeah, I mean, I think it's the other linebacker, really. It's Hawthorne. You know, he has the forced fumble, obviously, which was a big play, and I want to give him credit for that. But otherwise,
he looks old and slow.
He really does. He really does.
All right, here's an update on some more defensive stats here.
Here we go.
I need to do a trigger warning for our more sensitive listeners.
Okay, so the good news is that the average yards given up per game by the 2012 defense was a little more than 440. Which was that's a lot.
That's a lot.
This year so far, they're only giving up 414. So as far as yards per game, they're not giving up as many. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything. You know, if you're an offense and you're
it's 25 yards, it's not that much difference.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a lot more metrics other than that. You know, you could be playing a bend but don't break style or whatever. So they're not as bad as 2012. In the points department, in 2015, they're giving up, and this is more important, I would say, they're giving up 29.8, almost 30 points per game, whereas in 2012, they averaged giving up 28.4 points a game. So they're giving up about one more point per game this year. So they are worse in scoring this year.
They're worse.
So the other funny thing, though, that you have to note, though, is that they're actually not – as far as NFL standards, as far as yards per game are concerned, the Saints defense actually is second worst. They're not the worst in the league this year. They're behind the Giants, but that's a Spagnuolo defense.
Wait, so is this – so what yards, they're 31st, and the Giants are 32nd, right?
Yeah.
And how do those compare to 2012 Saints?
They're both under 440 yards.
Okay.
Not by much.
So basically, this Saints unit is worse by every metric except yards per game.
Yes.
Which is the golden standard for measuring the worst defense in NFL history.
Correct.
Yeah, I would say, though, points per game would be the worst defense in NFL history. That'd be my gold standard, but then I know the NFL does it by yards.
You know what we haven't talked about yet? It's unbelievable that this team is finding ways to waste this form that Drew Brees is in. Because
no,
right now,
good Brees, Lord, yes.
I mean, the pick was awful, and he should have known
second,
better.
He's second
Brees
in yards.
Brees is going to throw. We've watched Brees enough to know he's going to throw the occasional pick like that. But Brees at his current level is every bit as good as 2009, every bit as good as 2011. I don't care what his age is. Brees, the way he's playing right now in current form, is peak.
And they're wasting it.
Wasting.
And they're wasting it because they don't –
they can't beat the second worst team in the NFL with him playing like that.
Here's the thing. Like they're wasting – this is what's so frustrating about this season. And I knew it was a rebuilding year going in, Andrew, but this is what's so frustrating is they're wasting – another year of peak, or whatever you want to call it, Drew Brees, and they're wasting a schedule that I don't care that they didn't win. Just because they don't win the games doesn't mean the schedule's not easy. This schedule is a dream. If the 2011 Saints had this schedule, they would have gone undefeated.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's so frustrating, I mean, you really have to ask yourself honestly here. If Brees was not playing right now, how bad would this team be?
They'd be a one-win team.
I mean,
they'd be Dallas.
You look at Ingram averaging 2.5 yards a carry. You talk about your left guard getting absolutely dominated by ass crack Casey. You look at, you know, your best players, Unger didn't have a good game. Armstead was penalized and gave up a sack to Arakpo.
If they didn't have Breeze, they'd be 0-9.
I mean, the receivers played pretty well, but the defense, no pass rush, can't stop the run. I mean,
Andrew,
penalties.
If they didn't have Drew Breeze playing, I think there's like a 90% chance they'd be 0-9. Because
okay, so here's my next question. Take away Drew Brees and, you know, Sean Payton. Forget about the player evaluation for a minute and forget about how he's built these rosters. We know that Sean Payton, from a play-calling standpoint and a scheme and a design standpoint, has been able to expose other defenses with Drew Brees as his quarterback. But you take those two things away, over the last 10 years, what's really been that great?
That offensive line.
I mean, I guess they've hit on some draft picks.
Yeah.
Some of their draft picks have been awesome.
I mean that.
But if you do it for long enough, over 10 years, is it really any better than any other team, or is it worse?
It's way worse. I would say from 2010 to 2014, which is what, 5 years of drafts. I would put those 5 years of drafts for the Saints. I'd put those against any team you want to pick Cleveland, you want to pick the Jaguars, you want to pick the Raid, any of the dregs of the NFL. The Saints drafts have been just as bad.
Yeah, and so, I mean, obviously the loss still stings, and I'm making this comment on the heels of it, so it's hard to know how much of it is valid, but I just feel like this is Drew Brees more than ever just holding everything together by himself, and we're competitive games based on one player that's elite alone.
No, I agree. I mean, Dave, as you look at the
I mean, how many other quarterbacks could put up a stat line like that with how much he was getting hit?
Dave, you're at the game, and you have
I was there.
You have the primo seats.
I have the primo seats.
I'm
paying a shitload of money to watch this shit.
It could be worse. You could have Pelican season tickets, Dave.
Actually, I don't think it would be worse, because one of my employees is a big Pelicans fan, and she has Pelicans seats. Now, she's in the top bowl in the top row, but she said she pays like $200 for the entire season. Okay, that's how much one ticket to one game costs for me.
Oh, Lord.
And she gets 40-something games out of that, and she gets two beers at the beer garden before the game. Pelicans game.
Is Brandon Browner going to murder a media member?
Here we go. If I was Lions Yellen, I would have a bodyguard. I would make sure an NOPD officer is staked out in front of my house, like Rob Ryan had. Actually, you know what? Rob Ryan needs to get that too, I think, at this point. I was tweeting about this last night. You know, it's one thing for Browner to be a crappy cornerback and take all these penalties and really screw this defense. You know, everybody compares him to Jason David, but he's no Jason David, because Jason David was a stand-up guy outside the locker room. It was hard to actually hate Jason David off of the field. He always answered reporters' questions after every game. He always took responsibility for himself. He took it like a man, and he certainly wouldn't have had these outbursts like we see in Browner. So, I mean, Brandon Browner isn't doing himself any favor with these fans.
I don't remember Jason David also. I don't remember Jason David being a penalty fiend. I just remember Jason
David.
He was just getting roasted.
Yeah. And again, it's tough, because you know what? Because you think back to those days of Jason David, and you remember how our cornerbacks were giving 15-yard cushions, and they weren't even anywhere near receivers when they were catching the ball. I mean, so on the one hand, it's great that they have a cornerback like Browner, who's actually in the vicinity to even get called for a penalty, let alone make a play on the ball. But
I got a question for you too. So, if you're the GM of the Saints right now, or you're Sean Payton, and you can make a decision on this, do you do any of these three things right now? Number one, fire Rob Ryan. Number two, demote Brandon Browner. Number three, cut Justin Drescher.
It's choose your own adventure. I like it.
Do you do any combination of the three choices I just gave you?
I think you would love to do all three, but realistically, I don't know if you can do any. Well,
I would do.
No, I'm handing you the keys. Do you do it right now?
You know what? I don't know. It pains me to say it. I would I wouldn't get rid of Browner because, like I said, he's good in the locker room. He's not good with the media.
No, I said demote. I didn't say get rid of.
Yeah, I mean,
I'd demote him.
Here's the thing, though. If you don't have Swan and you don't have fully healthy Keenan Lewis, is Brandon Browner worse than a full game of Kyle Wilson?
And Brian Dixon.
It's different, but is it better? You know, I would probably do nothing. And who are you going to find at long snapper? I mean, Drescher's been bad, but I don't know.
Do we blame Drescher for that missed field goal?
Yes, absolutely, without question.
I don't know. Sean Payton seemed to be – he didn't seem to – well, they usually don't throw the snapper under the bus. They would just cut him. He didn't seem to be –
the snap was bad. I saw some people blame – Thomas Moore said this. The snap was bad enough that I actually thought he did a good job of getting the ball up and
– yeah.
At least giving it a chance.
Yeah, and the thing is –
I mean, the kick was right in front of me, and the snap was – on the ground by the time reach more.
And you can't
just pick it up off the ground and set it up.
And here's the thing, like you can get away with that on like a 30-yard field goal because the kicker can, you know, but when you've got those 45, 50-yard field goals, I think it was 47 yards, wasn't it? 46.
46, like, yeah.
That just you can't have a bad snap there. You got to, you know. I think
the timing was totally off and fucked up.
Drescher, if he doesn't get cut this week, he's one bad snap away from getting cut. I think.
I mean, I think he's played his last game as a Saints player.
Oh, you think
I could be wrong. I do.
It would happen. That's true. It would happen tomorrow because
the reason I think he's done. I could be wrong, but the reason I think he's done is if you remember Zach Hocker, they tried out kickers after he had a bad game.
Yeah.
And they stuck with him. And so I kind of viewed that as like Sean Payton saying, all right, here's a word to the wise. Like, this is the message I'm sending to you. I'm trying other guys out. You fuck up again, you're done. And he missed another kick, and sure enough, they went with one of the guys they tried out. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, they brought in two long snappers after Drescher had a bad snap on a kick, they tried two guys out. And so similarly, I think it was a message to Drescher, you better not have another bad snap, or we're going to sign these next guys.
And that'll happen tomorrow.
I think so. Right. That's my prediction.
All right. Before we get to predictions, we have a ton of Twitter questions. And remember, people, if you donate, you can rant. And all you people in the queue, donate $1 a month and you can rant. We had a couple of people enter the raffle. You'll get a chance to rant if you win. Donate. All you have to do is donate $1 a month, you know, and you can rant, and it can be fun, and
you know, at some point, Ralph, you're gonna have to let someone rant if you're gonna keep.
Well, no, I do. They keep saying.
How did nobody want to rant after this game?
I know. I was thinking that. I had two people that were on hold waiting to rant, and I emailed them today, the Todd and Rico. And they
Rico,
they declined.
Suave.
Or they, it's not that they declined, they just didn't get back to me.
Well, then Allie needs to get back on here.
Yeah, she did a fantastic job. So I just, you know, donate $1. You can rant. You'll need it. With this defense, my God, you'll need
it. I want to hear Monadula rant in his Dutch voice.
Oh, man. He got on me about mentioning something about missing Junior Gallet, and I just told him I can't re-argue for the thousandth time about why the Saints – they don't miss Junior Gallet.
You just tapped out.
I just tapped out. I was like, they don't miss Junior Gallet, the person. They miss Junior Gallet's pass rush. I can't do it anymore. Because I knew, like, Reed and all the people were just going to jump me, and I was like, I can't do it.
Getting ready to pounce.
Getting ready to pounce. I couldn't do it. So, look, we have a ton of Twitter questions. So, first one, this is from Dylan. I woke up expecting to see a story of Rob Ryan hitchhiking to Buffalo. Why didn't that happen, Dave?
Who was that to?
You, Dave.
Oh, that's to me?
Yeah, why didn't that happen?
Well, I mean, I've never been to Buffalo, but I can't imagine they have bars like Miss May's in Buffalo.
This is from Dylan, too, Andrew. How many games would the 2015 Saints offense win when paired with the 2012 defense? Four! You're seeing it! When we explain.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty much the same thing.
Let's see. This is from... this is from the Gear Fondler, one of our favorites. How does opposing quarterbacks even decide between throwing to the always open tight end or whoever Browner is covering?
Well, thankfully for most of these teams, Browner is on the tight end a lot of times, so that makes it really easy. But yes, it does get a lot more complicated when he's covering a receiver.
If you need a first down, you go for Browner.
This is from...
Yeah, I agree.
This is, Dave, this is from Superfan Allie. We love you, Allie. Is Browner the next Junior Gallette? Will he be shipped off along with all our cap money because of his attitude?
You know what? I don't even know what his contract deal is.
Three years, 15 million. I think eight was guaranteed.
Oh, shit. Yeah, it's certainly looking like it's going in that direction, doesn't it?
Andrew, what hurt the Saints more this year, the special teams or Brandon Browner?
Well, Murphy's got a few fumbles now. You got kickers that can't make kicks, holders that can't hold, snappers that can't snap.
We're one more missed extra point from Sean Payton saying "fuck it" and he's gonna start going for two.
I agree.
Maybe not for like the rest of the year, but I think they're one screw up on an extra point away from Sean Payton going for two the rest of that game just out of anger, which would really be it would be phenomenal.
That would be pretty fun, actually.
It would be.
I would say Browner is hurting the team more than anyone.
He's a
clear net negative.
This is another one from the Gear Fondler. Was Bird's perfectly timed hit on Keenan Lewis his best pass breakup of the season and as a Saint? I think it was.
Yes.
I think it was.
That
is so sad.
That was unbelievable.
That play, whenever anybody says, what went wrong with the 2015 Saints, I'm just going to show them that vine of that play.
I mean, that's got to go straight to America's Funniest Home Videos or the blooper NFL series.
It overtook Devin Brough being completely lost and losing the ball against Tampa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dave, there's a putt.
That's butt fumble level.
You got to give me a minute just to laugh about the Browner vine again, because I forgot about that one, and that one was really funny. I don't think anyone will be as funny as the Delvin Bro one.
Does a puddle of spilled milk have more depth than the Saints' defensive roster?
It depends on how much milk has spilled.
No, it doesn't.
This is from the 33rd, the 33rd ranked defense. Andrew, what's Jordan Reed's stat line at the end of the Redskins game? Keep in mind that no one will cover him.
Yeah. I don't know if you play fantasy, but Reed is available in some leagues. I would do whatever it takes to pick him up.
I got him in one of the leagues, and he's going to
I do have him in a league, and you better believe I'm starting him over Greg Olsen.
Monadula asks, is there any rookie quarterback the Saints have won against in the Sean Payton era? Matthew Stafford in 2009. First start ever. That's the one that popped in.
Not Max Hall.
Not
RG3.
Oh my god, Max.
They probably beat Matt Ryan the first time they played him.
Probably not. I bet you they didn't. Because Matt Ryan's first year, he went 11-5.
What was his first year?
2007, I think.
It was that early?
It was 2007 or 2008.
Really?
Yeah, he's been playing a while.
They beat Josh Freeman, I think, the first
time. Are you sure? I thought he was like 2010.
He Here's a question from the fake Rob Ryan. If you could have Sean Payton for 10 more years, but you had to choose between Spags and me, what would you do?
I would trade Sean Payton immediately for whatever picks we could get.
I have a question for the fake Rob Ryan. Why would you intentionally want to be the alternate version of Rob Ryan?
This is another question from Rob Ryan, Dave. Does Kirk Cousins throw 5 touchdowns against my defense, or do I drink 5 White Russian daiquiris before Sunday?
I was listening to the guys on WWL today on the way home, and they didn't seem like they weren't too excited about this game against the Redskins. They were worried about Kirk Cousins and his ability to stretch the field, and they had a Washington Redskins beat writer on it as a guest, and he was saying that he thought that this was the best Redskins team they've had, despite the record, the best Redskins team they've had in like 10 years. So if I wasn't nervous about this game now,
with the Redskins is the media in DC, they like the coach, they support the quarterback, and they're very positive. And the fans, if you go on Twitter and the blogs, hate the fucking team. So it's a really weird dynamic going on in Washington.
Well, the Skins are 3-1 at home, so.
Yeah, that's true. This is Reichert, and this is from Reichert, and then we'll get to the game predictions. Andrew, if every defensive play the Dome PA announced the tight end is eligible, like the tackle eligible, would the Saints maybe cover one?
No. No.
And let's see. Can Jabari Greer, Dave, can Jabari Greer, who is still having trouble walking, do a better job defending than Brandon Browner?
No, he couldn't do a better job of defending Brandon Browner, but he certainly wouldn't take as many penalties, which may or may not be better.
You can amputate Jabari Greer's leg right now, and he would play better than Brandon.
This is from Mitchell Cook. This is a really interesting question. Andrew, would you take Mike Smith as defensive coordinator starting tomorrow?
No.
Atlanta's still doing the wrong thing on fourth down. Oh, my God.
I'll stick with Rob Ryan.
Atlanta had 4th-and-1 from the 1-yard line against San Francisco. They were down 17-13 with 3 minutes
to
go.
They kicked the field goal.
And they kicked the field goal and counted on their crappy defense to get the ball back. If the Saints ever did that, I would lose.
Hey, Sean Payton's got a lot of faults. I can promise you there is no way in hell he would have done that.
Yeah. If last question, Dave, when Rob Ryan is fired, does he buy all the Rolling Rock at Miss Mays one last time to drink it all himself?
Yes. And he'll only be out like $40.
Yeah. You know, here's a question that somebody asked, and I think it's a good one. If they don't fire Rob Ryan in the bye week, Andrew, does that make you think Sean Payton is more likely to leave at the end of the year?
Yeah, because I don't think he would want to put Rob Ryan in a bad position if he was on the outs anyway.
Yeah, like you don't. So yeah. you think if Rob Ryan is still the defensive coordinator through the bye week, that it means that Sean Payton is more likely to leave.
Yeah, I think if he makes a move, that tells me that A, he's curious to see what Dennis Allen can do in case he wants to retain him, thinking about next year, and B, you know, if he's getting rid of Ryan, to me that also says like he's desperate to try to figure out any move that can give this team a chance to get a playoff run going, which means he's invested, he's all in. So I would say I would be more concerned about him leaving if Rob Ryan just kind of finished out his contract.
There you go. If you like Sean Payton, you want Rob Ryan to get fired.
Yeah, because that seems like something you do. Like you keep him if you know you're leaving, or if you have a strong sense of like, yeah, I kind of want to be out of here. I just feel like then you do your coaching staff a solid, and you at least kind of keep him around and let him finish out the year.
All right, we had a ton of questions. Thanks, everybody. Now we got to get to predictions. Dave, your thoughts on the Washington game?
Well, I'm not going to be optimistic.
Saints are
about
a 2-point favorite for you gamblers out there.
I can't believe that. I would take the Redskins. I would put everything I owned on the Redskins.
I bet on the Titans in the over because I'm a terrible person. And no, I won money.
So good for you. Good for you. You're a smart man. Unfortunately, I just don't see any. I don't see any reason why we're gonna get anything more or anything better out of this defense. So it's hard for me to believe that the Redskins aren't gonna be able to put up at home. Aren't gonna be able to put up at least 30 points. So.
They are pretty bad on offense, though.
Yeah, I know, but you know what? You know what?
So is Tennessee.
What were we saying about Tennessee a week ago? Exactly a week ago. you know, and
I was pretty impressed by Mariota.
He looked good. But you
he got the ball out.
He did. He looked very good. He didn't look like a rookie quarterback. But you got to take your competition into concern, and that was the Saints. And Ralph started this podcast by saying that every quarterback that has played the Saints so far this season has had a significantly higher quarterback rating in the game against the Saints than they have throughout the rest of their season and their season average. Anyway, we're off topic here. I think the Redskins win. I'm going to go with the Kevin Held reverse jinx, and I'll say Redskins 36, Saints 27, and I think if there's going to be any player of the game.
By the way, Washington has only scored more than 21 points twice all year.
Yeah, well, it's happening this week. It's definitely happening this week. I'll say. You know, the goat of the game is just going to be more Brandon Browner.
So, Andrew, you're going to the game.
I'm gonna say Kai Forbath daggers his old team.
Nice.
It's gonna be another ugly, awful game. We're gonna hate most of it, but Breeze is gonna rally the troops late, and Kai Forbath with a dagger at the buzzer. 27-24 Saints. And you know, you made a comment earlier, Ralph, about this being a Hazlitt Saints team. That's exactly what this is. I expected them to lose to Tennessee. You just don't know what you're going to get week to week. And now we're all down in the dumps. We think they're terrible. They're going to go on the road and win.
I am going to say the Saints are due for one more time. They're going to get their ass kicked. They're going to have one more game where they're going to win by about 10, because that's as big a win as the Saints can have this year with this defense. They're not going to blow anybody out by two or three touchdowns. They're just not capable. And they're going to have about 5 coin flip games. But I'm going to say Saints are going to win 38-28. Breeze is going to be awesome. And they're going to stumble into 3 turnovers, ass backwards. And
that's the only – that I'll tell you this right now. That is the only way – they're going to win any football games for the rest of the season.
Yeah, but that's what's going to happen. They're going to stumble into 3 turnovers. Kirk Cousins is going to fumble once. He'll throw a pick. They'll get a tip or something. And they'll just stumble into 3 turnovers and score 38. Washington will score 28, and the Saints will win. And they'll be 5-5 going into the bye week. And this will be our last, oh, my God, Drew Brees is phenomenal. He's the because he goes through the stretch where he's awesome, and then he dips a little bit, and he'll come back. But this is going to be his peak of, oh, my God, he's awesome, Sunday, I think. And the Saints are going to win. So that's my prediction. Kevin's at wrestling, probably. So go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got grades up. He graded the offense today. He gave Drew Brees an A-. I'm excited for these defensive grades, Andrew. I really am.
No, they're already up. They're already up.
I'm going to read them.
John Jenkins got an A.
What, because he got injured and didn't play? No, I'm just kidding. He went
no,
back
he had away. 10 tackles.
No, I'm excited to read that during my lunch. I hope it has a lot of negativity and anger, because that's what I feel. So go to Saints Nation and read the grades. Go to Canal Street Chronicle. Dave's got all kinds of stuff up. And, of course, follow Andrew on Twitter, Dave on Twitter, and his minions running the Twitter feed for Canal Street Chronicles.
And thanks to Ryan Harrison, too.
Ryan Harrison for stopping by. And Kevin, of course, oh shit, I'm sorry guys, I was asleep or with a prostitute or whatever.
Right on cue.
So
are you guys still recording?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was just, you know, I was eating a frozen dinner on my couch, and I just zoned out. And
I don't even have a joke.
I just fell asleep, and, you know, stuff happens. I'm sorry, man, I'm working hard, you know. Sorry.
Maybe we should call him and get him on right now and just get one quick rant.
And the shame of it was he lost his mind in the post-game show and had a fantastic rant on the Blog Talk show after the game. So go find Kevin on the Ashley Tinder. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin who just woke up, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed.